This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Just this afternoon, the Senate voted 81-18 to end debate over a short-term spending deal, paving the way to end the three-day government shutdown. The Senate bill reauthorizes the Children's Health Insurance Program for 6 years and funds the government for an additional 17 days, but nothing on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. And that's because Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's hoping that sometime in the next couple of weeks, the GOP-controlled Senate will take up a DACA debate.
The Republican majority now has 17 days to prevent the Dreamers from being deported.
And in fact, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell did say he'd consider it.
It would be my intention to take up legislation here in the Senate that would address DACA, border security, and related issues.
Well, not all Senate Democrats buy it. Massachusetts Senators Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey both voted no. California's Kamala Harris said of McConnell's DACA intention, quote, "I think it would be foolhardy to believe that he made a commitment." But Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said he's confident that senators would reach a compromise.
Now comes the test, the real test, as to whether we can get this done, whether we can be the Senate again, whether we can return to a regular order on the floor and constructively have a debate.
But for now, the Senate spending bill will next have to go back to the House, where there's already pushback from House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
I don't see that there's any reason to support what was put forth. But when it comes over here, I know there'll be a large number of our members who will not support it.
Well, standing right next to Pelosi as she said that, Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, who joins us now. Congressman Moulton, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here.
So first of all, how do you know how you're going to vote? It might happen in the next hour and a half or so. How are you going to vote on what the Senate may hand over to the House?
That's right. I intend to vote against it. It's essentially the same short-term kick-the-can-down-the-road funding bill that I voted against 5 days ago. It doesn't do right by our troops. It doesn't address some of the key issues that we need to address. And frankly, there's no guarantee that whatever immigration legislation is brought up in the Senate will ever be brought up in the House.
So let's talk about that in a little more detail, because I think that's one thing that people have been sort of picking over the course of the day, that first of all, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he has the intention, but that doesn't equal a promise. And that, in fact, he has broken or not fulfilled other promises he's made in the past to fellow members of his own party. So do you think that this is likely that a DACA bill, first of all, is likely to come up in the next 17 days, even on the Senate side?
Well, I guess the Democrat who probably knows best is Senator Schumer, but I can certainly say I'm skeptical myself, because you're right. Let's not mince words here. Senator McConnell has broken multiple promises to the American people and to members of his own party when it comes to bringing up this immigration legislation.
I just want to ask you, we'll get to the House here in a second, but it seems as if there's a lot of unhappiness amongst the progressive wing of the Democratic Party right now. I'm seeing things such as this is an observation from Matt Visor, who's a reporter, not a member of the progressive wing, but I think he's echoing a lot of what some people feel. He tweeted today, "Democrats have managed to accede to Republican demands, demoralize their energized base, and give a disengaged president a win, and look like they held a meaningless three-day government shutdown all at once." Do you share those concerns?
No, look, I mean, this isn't just about the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. Taking care of these innocent kids whose the only country they know is the United States of America, that's something that 9 out of 10 Americans agree with. So this is something that we absolutely should address. And there's a lot of confidence that if a good piece of legislation that would take care of the Dreamers were put forward in the House of Representatives, it would pass with a bipartisan majority. The problem is, over here, we have a speaker in Paul Ryan who refuses to even bring it up for debate.
Right.
And fundamentally, what we're talking about here is that we had this government shutdown because we're not doing the basic functions of democracy, which are about debating the issues and coming up with compromise to move them forward.
I mean, it feels like we've done this dance before, right? I mean, in 2013, the Senate did manage to pass an immigration bill by a healthy margin. but that it was never even allowed a House vote. So, I mean, honestly, what makes, to your point, is there anything that's substantially different this time around that might lead to a different outcome?
You agree with me.
No, it's just the facts that speak for themselves. History is telling us that.
Right. No, that's what history says. And then listen, the bill, the immigration bill that you're talking about was comprehensive immigration reform. It not only addressed the immigration issues that the most liberal members of our country care about, it addressed border security. It improved border security. It provided a path to citizenship and put immigrants and put undocumented workers on the tax rolls. It was actually very, very good at reducing the deficit because the undocumented workers would start paying taxes like the rest of us. So it was a great piece of legislation. It passed the Senate. And I think the reality is that Republicans, the hardcore conservatives, conservative Republicans in the House, knew that it would pass the House as well. And so what did they do? They refused to even bring it up. They refused to have a debate on the issue. And that's fundamentally failing in their role as elected representatives in our Congress.
Mm. Well, Speaker Ryan, though, has said that he won't bring any legislation to the floor that lacks the support of President Trump. I suppose the another way of saying that is if the president supports it, Ryan would bring it to the floor. And the president has spoken positively. I mean, remember, it feels like a lifetime ago, but just last week he was talking about a DACA bill with heart. That was what he was looking for. So could that be different here, that we have a president who says sometimes that he wants a DACA bill to pass?
Well, it seems like the only person left in Washington who actually trusts President Trump is Speaker Paul Ryan. And I think Speaker Ryan has forgotten that he is supposed to preside over a separate but equal branch of government. The framers of the Constitution didn't say that everybody in Congress should wait for the president's blessing to do something. Exactly the opposite. We're supposed to be independent. We're supposed to represent the people and have our own view on the issues, debate them, come up with compromises to move bills forward. And then the separate branch of government, the executive, headed by the president, decides whether or not to accept those pieces of legislation. So from the very premise here that Paul Ryan would only do something that the president says means that he's completely failing at his job, that's the opposite of leadership. And frankly, he's not fulfilling his constitutional obligations.
Hmm. Well, the president did have a statement today. It was read at the press briefing by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And the statement is, quote, "I am pleased that Democrats in Congress have come to their senses and are now willing to fund our great military, border patrol, first responders, and insurance for vulnerable children. As I have always said, once the government is funded, my administration will work towards solving the problem of very unfair illegal immigration. We will make a long-term deal on immigration if and only if it is good for our country." So, Congressman Moulton, to that last sentence from the president's statement, I mean, do you see, is there a place where you see a compromise about what is good for the country regarding immigration?
Well, there's a lot of compromise. And the fact that we had that bill passed the Senate that was comprehensive immigration reform a few years ago shows that you can do this in an effective way, in a way that improves security at our borders, but also takes care of the people who are already here, including these innocent kids that 9 out of 10 Americans believe ought to have a chance at the American dream. The problem with the president is that he twice in the past week agreed to deals on this kind of legislation that he then reneged. So he's completely unreliable, and fundamentally, that's why we had a government shutdown. Now, at the end of the day, the real losers in the government shutdown, of course, are the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And when the president fails to take his job seriously, makes promises, and then changes his story down the road so that even members of his own party, like Senator Lindsey Graham, can't find a way to work with him, that's how you have a government shutdown, a true embarrassing the truly embarrassing chaos like we had this past weekend.
Yeah. So now, I mean, Senator Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin, the Gang of Six, they can try to get their immigration bill. Other groups can offer theirs. The thing is, whatever passes the Senate, if anything, passes, and that's what we have. I'm just curious about what you make of where Democrats find themselves after the debacle of this shutdown. And in order to just let me put a finer point on it, because I'm seeing this from Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arizona. And he had said, I keep hearing Democrats say the shutdown is about lots of issues. Translation, the shutdown is about illegal immigration, and we've realized it's massively unpopular to prioritize interests of illegal immigrants and foreigners over American citizens. And to that point, I guess what I'm trying to get to, and forgive me that this is taking so long, Congressman, but in 17 days, if we have no immigration agreement, we're going to have another shutdown, and then it will likely be painted as absolutely just about DACA or just about immigration. Will Democrats have painted themselves into a corner because they couldn't even make any progress on it now?
No, we're doing the right thing for the people that we represent. We're standing up for an issue that's important to the American people. And frankly, it's people like Senator Cotton that are just really out of touch. And not to nitpick you, Magda, but Senator Cotton represents Arkansas, not Arizona.
I don't want to
credit for representing a border state and perhaps understanding this issue.
I just put Jeff Flake out of a job. I'm sorry about that.
Well, he's resigning soon anyway, but or not running for reelection, I should say. But in any event, the point is that Senator Cotton's views on immigration are way out of the mainstream, way, way off. Way beyond the old Budweiser sign in right field at Fenway. So I don't think that he really knows what he's talking about, but more importantly, he just doesn't represent the bipartisan consensus that we can have on this issue in the United States Senate and in the United States House of Representatives. And if we do that, if we find some bipartisan compromise in a way that strengthens our border security, gives undocumented workers a pathway to citizenship that puts them on the tax roll so that they're paying taxes like the rest of us, and gives dreamers a chance at the American dream, then we're doing the right thing for the American people, and we're solving an issue that has bedeviled the United States Congress for a long time. But if the government shuts down again, it's not just it's not just immigrants who get hurt here. This is disastrous for our military. It's disastrous for our national security. I mean, there are members of the Department of Defense who showed up to work today just to fill out furlough forms, and they weren't able to do their jobs to keep our nation safe. So if the Republicans, under Republican watch, Republican leadership in the White House, the Senate, and the House, let another government shutdown happen because they're simply afraid to address the immigration issue, something that's important to the American people, then the blame should all be at their feet. And ultimately, the losers will be the American people.
It just makes me wonder if that is exactly where we're headed, right? Because I think a lot of Americans might think that it's much of Washington that's out of touch with the American people. I mean, we do have a Republican Party that in leadership, it's stonewalled for a year regarding Merrick Garland as a Supreme Court nominee. And Mitch McConnell made some promises to Susan Collins over Obamacare stabilization that have never really materialized. So like it or not, promises have been broken, but it doesn't seem to cost the Republicans really anything in terms of it doesn't cost them politically.
Well, just wait for 2018. And that's why I'm working so hard to elect a new generation of service-driven leaders to Congress. And the reason why so many of the veterans that I'm supporting running across the country, people who are viewed as truly leaders, respected for their leadership more than their party affiliation, the reason why they're doing so well is because of the utter dysfunction that you see in Washington highlighted by the chaotic shutdown this weekend. You know, if this is the kind of quote-unquote leadership that the Republicans deliver, when they're literally in charge of everything, then it's time for a change. Yeah. And I think that's what you'll see happen in 2018.
Congressman Moulton, one last question while I've got you. Shifting gears a tiny bit, because you had mentioned national security. Earlier this month, you actually broke with many others of the other members of the Massachusetts delegation and voted yes on the FISA Amendments Act, specifically the Section 702, the Warrantless Surveillance Program, that allows the government to intercept phone calls and communications from non-Americans outside the United States, even if those communications are with citizens here. Just curious about your reasoning for voting yes on that.
Well, there are actually three bills, And the first one I voted yes on had the most civil liberties protections for this important national security program. I voted with, I think, the entire Massachusetts delegation on that vote. The next one, the delegation split. Some of us voted for it and some of us voted against. But the reason I voted for it is because that second bill had more civil liberties protections than the third bill, which is the one that would have come over from the Senate. The Senate bill, which is what we would have had if that second bill failed, had the fewest numbers of, or the least number, the least amount of civil liberties protections. And so that's why I didn't want to see that one ultimately advance. So, you know, critics can complain that the second bill I voted for didn't have as many protections as the first, but that's why I voted for the first bill in the first place. The real risk was that that third bill, the so-called clean FISA reauthorization, would come over from the Senate, and then we'd be in a much worse place today than we are now.
All right. Well, Congressman Seth Moulton joining us from Washington today, probably going to head over to the House chamber any moment now to take a vote on the Senate's continuing funding resolution. Congressman Moulton, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get another view from a Washington political reporter. Astead Herndon, who's the national politics reporter for the Boston Globe, joins us now. Welcome to you.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So you just heard Congressman Moulton talk about his view as a Democrat in the House. But have we heard anything from House Speaker Paul Ryan or major House Republicans on whether they're on how they view the Senate's funding bill?
Mm-hmm. Now, Speaker Paul Ryan had said over the weekend that if the Senate passed this three-week measure, the short-term spending bill, that he would be prepared to move it on the floor, and he believes that they would have the votes. The expectation is that when the House moves forward with this, that some combination of the Republican caucus and maybe some red state Democrats would get behind this enough to fund the government for 3 weeks. As you have said, this kind of kicks the fight down the road, does not really solve what are the real critical issues here, but it does give a kind of perception that maybe Democrats were willing to cave on the issue specifically around DACA more so than they had previously kind of positioned themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so I guess does that mean that, you know, last week we were hearing members of the Freedom Caucus for several days very vocally opposing spending bills because for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. but perhaps they're not so vocal in opposition right now?
It depends on how you read this.
Okay.
I mean, how the spin that's coming from Democrats right now is that they did not cave more so than just allow the government, obviously, to stay open for three more weeks. They did also get through the Children's Health Insurance Program funding that's been languished in the last couple months. And what they're saying is that they've gotten assurances from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell that he will take the DACA fight a little more seriously, that they would get maybe a clean DACA bill through on the floor and just give it a real fair shake. And so what, you know, kind of the you have to believe Mitch McConnell is going to hold his promise to necessarily believe the spin that's coming from the Democratic caucus right now, but they're trying to position themselves to say it wasn't a cave more so than a prudent decision to keep the government open that also came with some assurances that Republicans are going to play fair on the upcoming immigration fight.
Right. And it does seem that, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the Senate, but I think the uncertainties are even greater in the House because, as you heard when I was talking to Congressman Moulton, we recalled that in 2013, there was, you know, this was more of a comprehensive immigration reform bill, but that was never even brought to the House floor. So, you follow this stuff closely, Astead. I mean, is the makeup of the House in 2018 significantly different or different enough than it was in 2013 for any other outcome?
It's hard to know. I mean,
yeah.
That's what kind of is a baffling point that's coming from the Democrats in the Senate today, is that even if in some kind of miraculous world, the Senate passes a clean DACA bill that provides protections for Dreamers. It is hard. We're hard pressed to find a universe in which Speaker Paul Ryan puts that on the floor, much less another universe where President Trump signs it. And so, you know, there is some kind of hopefulness that's going on here right now. But at the same time, Democrats think that the public pressure is on their side. This is something that's overwhelmingly supported by both Democrats and Republicans. But the problem for them is that there is a president or a White House administration right now that is so deeply ingrained in the kind of nativist wing of the Republican Party that even that public support for DACA doesn't really seem to move them.
Estelle Herndon, national politics reporter for the Boston Globe, speaking to us from Washington. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.